This is ESPN Radio.
We're big fans of rest. We're big fans of apple juice on this show. And I appreciate Rick Ross's approach to travel. Now, as we get ready for Thursday Night Football, as we get ready to figure out whatever the hell Kyrie Irving's saying right now, I also have an even bigger question that I've got to pose, not to Rick Ross, but to the rest of our friends around here at Canty and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we want you to be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation. Check in with us on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. And Chris, it's a darn shame that ain't nothing happened in the last 24 hours that we can talk about around here.
Yeah, we got quite a few headlines that we got to dive into. But before we get to all of that, I got to talk to you about something that disturbed me that I saw on your Twitter account.
Help me
understand why you make the decision to risk it all with going with a hotel lobby served hard-boiled egg. Help me understand the rationale behind that.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, we were asking travel questions to Rick Ross, and I wanted to ask you guys, because I had a genuine moment today. I'm out here up at Syracuse. I've got tomorrow night's game between Syracuse and the Clemson Tigers that's going to be going down here at the Carrier Dome. And so I get to my hotel here, and I'm hungry after the drive up here. And so I'm looking around in the lobby, and I see, you know, the wrapped sandwiches, the bars, the normal things that you would see in, like, the little hotel hospitality area down in the lobby. And then I see the closed Tupperware containers of hard-boiled eggs. And Chris, I don't know where are you at on hard-boiled eggs in general? Let's start there. Is that something you're going to reach for regardless?
Listen, it's not my speed. Now, my fiance Melanie, she loves them, but I don't go that route. That's not the way I fly if I'm taking a page out of Rick Ross's book. But, I mean, to each his own, it's not the hard-boiled egg that bothers me. It's who's giving you the hard-boiled egg in this situation. And I got to say, hotel lobby served hard-boiled eggs, huge question mark right there.
So I put it up on a poll at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter. Am I nasty for buying hard-boiled eggs from the hotel lobby? 3,000 votes in, 76.8% saying yes here. Now, I will say, Chris, while I defend my right to eat eggs from this location here, we're at about DEFCON 4 right now for the stomach.
Yeah, that's a sports red flag. And now it's going to be touch and go with you during the course of the show because you decided to go that route with the hard-boiled egg. This is you being a bad teammate in a roundabout way. You're not considering the rest of your teammates when it comes to doing something like this. Chris, I'm just saying, it's a real volatile situation you got going on right now in your hotel room. And I got to say this, Big Stinko might not just be what we see from DJU in the Carrier Dome tomorrow night. It could be from Mike Golic's hotel room today.
It could be, but that being said, Chris, this is bigger than just me now. I have to be a voice for the voiceless on this subject here. There are other people that want to be able to go out and do this, to be able to eat hard-boiled eggs at the place of their choosing, and now I have to represent more than them, which, my God, that is what's in the air today here. So this Kyrie Irving stuff, let's get into it. Speaking of the self-proclaimed voice for the voiceless, according to the reports that we heard yesterday, because, Chris, we had talked about Kyrie Irving not being around for the Brooklyn Nets right now, Kyrie Irving getting sort of an ultimatum from this team saying he's not going to be a part of practices or games for us until he can fully comply by the ordinances in New York that require home players to be vaccinated to play in that arena. Kyrie Irving, who said all this about being a voice for the voiceless through sources and not actually himself, saw the overwhelming irony of that and decided to address this. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Kyrie Irving, the Nets point guard, went on Instagram Live last night and talked about the vaccine, his decision, and ultimately how this affects his basketball future.
Don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that you know, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate or staying unvaccinated. Don't believe any of that shit. Like really be aware. You know, what would you do? You know, if you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine. You know, this wasn't an issue before the season started. This wasn't something that I foresaw coming where I prepared for it. And, you know, I had a chance to strategize on what was going to be best for me and my family. I came into the season thinking that I was just going to be able to play ball.
Well, Chris, we got to the season. That is not the case now. So there was a lot to take in Kyrie's IG Live. What was the biggest thing that stuck out to you in this large mishmash of words?
That he's not retiring. Like Kyrie said, that this is not going to take away his ability to pursue his passion, which is playing a game of basketball. And I think that's got to be the headline for all basketball fans out there, but in particular the Brooklyn Nets. Like, as an organization, the fact that he took to his social media account, IG Live, and put that out there for the world to see, like, if I was the Nets, I'm picking up the phone and calling around the NBA and seeing who wants to trade for Kyrie Irving right now. Because the reality is they don't know if and when they'll be able to get Kyrie's services due to the relaxing of local mandates in the tri-state area. So with that, you know, unpredictability, it just seems like they would be in a better position to try to get what they can get for Kyrie and be able to supplement their roster and then moving forward with KD and James Harden and the rest of the supporting cast. To me, that makes the most sense. That would be the most logical. It felt like Kyrie didn't have very much trade value 24 hours ago because people didn't know whether he was serious about saying that he would retire before he would play for another team. But now that he's saying that he's willing to continue his basketball career, I just feel like this is one of those situations the Brooklyn Nets have to do their due diligence and see if there's any takers on Kyrie Irving's services.
Yeah, well, and Chris, once they made that announcement from their GM, Sean Marks, from Joseph, from the rest of this organization saying, yeah, Kyrie's not going to be around here half the time for us, we talked about what that meant about the support it had to have from Kevin Durant, from James Harden, from the players that are involved in all of this one. But that also indicates that's a line of thinking that you're open to. And I'm with you. It wasn't until you had said it. I'd been so caught up in the rest of the words out and Kyrie Irving claiming everything this isn't about while never really telling us what it is about.
It's easy to get caught up in all of that, Mike. So I don't blame you for that one. Like, it's easy to get wrapped up in the tornado that is Kyrie Irving, because last night what he did on his IG Live, none of it was coherent. It was just like a stream of conscience. Like, it's one of those things that therapists tell you to do just to get stuff out as an outlet. Like, it seemed like Kyrie just took to his social media account and he did that, and you didn't necessarily get a rhyme or reason as to why he had the position of not getting vaccinated, why he didn't want to take the shot in order to return to play and be available for his teammates. Like, he didn't give a reason, but he talked about all the different things that he didn't like and how it seems like he's being demonized for taking this anti-vax stance. And I don't think this is a situation where anybody is forcing him to not play. I think this is just the reality of the situation, which is based on the local laws in New York City, he's not going to be able to play in the home games, and the Brooklyn Nets don't want to have to deal with the distraction of a part-time player. So nobody's making Kyrie Irving do anything. He's choosing not to get vaccinated, and he's well within his rights for that, just understanding that that decision comes along with consequences, and this is the consequence of it.
This is the consequence, because you're right. And this whole situation, quite frankly, like, this is outsized coverage relative to the sample size Kyrie represents, right? We've talked about the high percentage of NBA players that are vaccinated, the high percentage of athletes in a number of professional sports really outpacing most of the normal population. But because Kyrie Irving plays one of the most popular sports in the country, because he is one of the best players in that sport, and because he is in the number one media market in the country, it's getting outsized coverage. The problem is Kyrie Irving, who generally, like Chinua Achebe, who used to be on this show, is someone who has known Kyrie more personally than most of us here and talked about all of the philanthropic work this guy has done and where his heart is. And generally, we believe it to be in the right place. But in this situation, when you are loud wrong on this, you give bad actors the ability to use you and your ambiguity around this, because he didn't come out on that IG Live and present us with any revelatory information or any real support for what he was doing. You give a lot of bad people the ability to use your name in an area that in this instance can be very literally poisonous. So you're right. I think the biggest instance that comes out of this is the clear for sale sign here. The Nets can and should be open for business. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Coming up next, though, we'll head out to New York and try and talk to someone who knows to see if this really could be the for sale sign on the lawn for Kyrie Irving as it pertains to his tenure with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll do that after this word from Wendy's. Now, guys, rise, shine, and dine with breakfast at Wendy's. No hard-boiled eggs here. You can get a sausage or bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant for just $1.99. I should have done that. Would have been the much smarter move. Fresh cracked eggs, a buttery, flaky croissant, and your choice of bacon or sausage, all for $1.99. So head to Wendy's in the AM for breakfast worth waking up for. And with a deal this delicious, the biggest question you'll have to face today is just sausage or bacon. Decisions, decisions. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary.
Kyrie's made it clear that he has a choice in this matter.
At the end of the day, I would still ultimately try to respect his opinion because we are in unprecedented times. The lack of communication is the part that would send me off into a different stratosphere.
Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canny. And for more on what is next for the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie Irving, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Christian Winfield right now, New York Daily News Nets reporter, and someone who I'd imagine is gravely disappointed in me on a number of fronts for my food choices today. What's up, Christian?
How did you know, man? I was going to punt all Nets talk until you explain yourself for this candy corn pizza that you just threw onto my timeline. What's going on here, man?
Well, so Christian, we have two things that we have to weigh in now here before we get to this Kyrie Irving business with you, because yes, you and I did tweet about my love of candy corn and this candy corn pizza that's been all over the internet, but I've also got to ask you about what I did when I got to my hotel here. I went down to the lobby bar area and got myself hard-boiled eggs from the hotel common area. Is that fair or foul?
With what else?
I got like a sandwich, but there were hard-boiled eggs. I threw a little salt and pepper on there and then just, you know, did the damn thing.
You know what? I'll give you a pass. Hard-boiled eggs are an incredible source of protein. You know what I'm saying? So if that's the route you want to go, I don't blame you. But the candy corn on the pizza, man, that's got to go. That's foul. That's just bad.
Yeah, no. Listen, is that probably a step too far? Yes, but Christian, as I told you, I am a voice for the voiceless in this candy corn argument, and so I've got to continue to stand my ground because there's people that care about me. So with that as the backdrop for all of this, Christian, were you able to make sense of what Kyrie Irving was trying to tell us on that IG Live last night?
Absolutely not. Number one, it was just so late. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I'm media and I'm supposed to be covering this stuff 24/7, but I got to sleep too, man. You don't know what I was trying to. You know, I tried to. And here's the funny part. You know, it looked like he took offense to what some people said, and then he said something like, "Oh, well, none of these people want to say this to my face, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." He didn't show for media day, so it's not like we could ask him the questions in person. And then when we did ask him questions, he said to respect his privacy, right? So that kind of goes out the window. Look, I feel like there's two very different sides to the argument, right? There's one where, you know what I'm saying, no one should be forced to do something with their bodies they don't want to do, right? And I understand that argument, and I'm inclined to agree with that argument. But on the other hand, there's just doing well by your teammates, doing well by people who have already succumb to COVID-19. You know, we've got a guy in Minnesota, Carl Anthony Towns, who lost I don't know how many different family members, and has just been such a staunch proponent of the vaccine now. It's just messy on so many different levels. And now we've got a guy in Kyrie who's an incredible basketball player and is now trying to become kind of the spokesperson for the, you know, say my body, my choice movement. And it's just so, it's tough to wrap my mind around. It's tough to cover, and it's tough to predict, because with a guy like Kyrie, you don't know what comes next.
Christian, we saw that Sean Marks issued a statement a couple of days ago saying that they're not going to stand for a part-time player with the Brooklyn Nets organization. Have you heard from them in terms of, you know, any feedback surrounding Kyrie and potentially getting vaccinated somewhere down the road in this thing? Or is this kind of one of those situations?
They've heard about as much as we've heard from Kyrie in terms of getting vaccinated. And that's, you know, we don't know. Nobody knows if the Nets have left the door open for him to come back. It's not like they've said, hey, you know, at this point, we don't want you back, whether you get vaccinated or not. If Kyrie turns around and goes and gets vaccinated tomorrow, the Nets would love to have him. Right. But until that happens, or until either A, he's granted some sort of religious exemption, which up until now does not exist in New York City, or B, the COVID-19 mandate or the vaccine mandate is loosened, which is not too far-fetched. You see, Bill de Blasio, who's the mayor here, his term is coming to an end, and he's the one who signed the mandate into order. So if by some stroke of genius or luck, Kyrie's grand plan is to be lobbying for the next mayor to loosen that COVID-19 vaccine mandate here in New York City, then maybe that's a pathway for him to move forward. But those are two long shots, right? Right now it's get the shot or get a trade. And I'm not sure how likely either of those are, or either, you know, aside from likely, I'm not sure how palatable either of those are either. You know, Kyrie wants to play here in New York with James Harden, with Kevin Durant, with the guys we built this with. I'm sure he doesn't want to get traded to a city that doesn't have vaccine laws like Florida or like Texas. I know those two states are pretty looser, but it's just a tough situation right now. And you know, nobody knows which way it's going to go next.
Kane Angelouk Jr. talking to Christian Winfield on the Goodyear Hotline. You mentioned the palatability of that trade option, but one of the coherent things to come out of Kyrie's IG Live last night was him saying, I'm not going to retire. So does that, in theory, make it a little bit easier to sell to another team? Or at least, given everything we know, for them to pick up the phone, Christian, and say, hey, this guy's not going to just call it quits. Can we talk about something?
Sure, yeah. You know, I think now we're at a point where, you know, I think teams will be more likely to call the Nets now. Now teams are like, okay, well, you know, if we're looking in some of those markets, maybe you're looking at a team like Dallas who's got Luka, who's got KP, who's maybe a Kyrie away from trying to knock the Lakers out of the West. Maybe they put a package together. You know, you've got a couple different teams that might say, hey, you know, if he's willing to play and if he doesn't have to get vaccinated to play for us, let's make an offer. I still think we're maybe a little bit of a ways away from that. I still think, you know, from everything that I've heard Steve Nash say and from everything that I've heard Sean Marks say up until yesterday, it seemed like they were holding out hope for a change in something, right? Another thing Kyrie said last night on his IG Live was, hey, there was supposed to be some sort of exemption put in place for me before the season starts. Now there's no exemption. I thought the whole time he was going to go for the religious exemption route, but we saw Andrew Wiggins get denied that over in Oakland. So I don't necessarily know what the play was there. And it just seems like, you know, Kyrie alluded to on media day that he did via Zoom because he couldn't do it in person. He said, hey, there's a plan in place. You know, let's just let it unfold. It seems like his plan has kind of started to unravel here. And now it's like, okay, well, where does he go next? He says he's not going to retire, but to play in New York, at least you're going to have to get vaccinated. So to your point, yeah, I do think other teams might be a little bit more inclined to trade for him now, but he's also got a player option next season, right? He could play this season and then become a free agent in the summer. So what's to say a team isn't looking at it that way? Like, hey, well, even if he does say he doesn't want to retire, well, he could leave us next year. So why would we give up anything, you know, sizable for him?
Christian, and you're leading me right to where I want to go, because I want to zoom out and take a look at the bigger picture when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets, because this was supposed to be the summer where the big three all signed contract extensions and they would be here for the foreseeable. Kevin Durant got his done. Obviously, the Nets can't move forward with Kai. Where does that leave James Harden in all of this? Because a couple of weeks ago at training camp, he was talking about free agency and the possibility of exploring that. Have we heard anything more from James Harden's camp? And what are people around the team saying about the possibilities of being able to get something done in the short term?
You know, what's funny is that as when Kevin Durant led Team USA to gold, and that same day he signs a contract extension that keeps him in Brooklyn through the 2025-2026 season, Sean Marks comes out and says, hey, we feel pretty good about our chances of getting Kyrie and James Harden. Actually, he said those talks were ongoing at that point. And now we know for sure that the talks between management and Kyrie haven't been ongoing for some time now. And now if you can't lock James Harden in, you're looking at a team with one star, and now you've got to try to build around just Kevin Durant. Now, mind you, Kevin Durant is probably the best player on the planet. I mean, he's got number one in Sports Illustrated and in ESPN. You know, you've got the Giannis, who won the championship last year in the second round, was talking about there's nothing we can do to stop him. But we know it's a team game, right? And if James Harden leaves Brooklyn because this is not what he expected it to be, and if the Nets trade away Kyrie Irving, or if Kyrie leaves Brooklyn because he can't play there because of the COVID vaccine mandate, now you've got a whole different scenario. It kind of takes you back to this offseason where, you know, this entire year, Sean Marks and Joe Tsai have been kind of in lockstep saying, hey, we're married to the luxury tax, we're going to pay it. But at every moment where they could have, you know, eaten a luxury tax bill to bring on a player, they chose not to. Think about it. They traded Spencer Dinwiddie away to the Wizards and took nothing back when they could have maybe gotten a Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a Kyle Kuzma, a Montrezl Harrell. They could have got one of those guys. Remember, they traded away DeAndre Jordan for Sekou Doumbouya and then traded Doumbouya away for nothing, right? They didn't get anybody back. And yet, mind you, they still have these trade exceptions they might be able to use, but they could have been a little bit more strategic with their cap space had they known this would have been the scenario. Obviously, you know what I'm saying, if they could have seen what would have happened ahead of time, maybe they would have made some different moves. But this roster now, it's looking, I won't say shaky, but this was a roster, in my opinion, that was built to be supportive around three stars. Now you're looking at a team with two stars. You're looking at a couple holes in that roster. You don't have Kyrie. Okay, well, do you have a wing that can shoot threes and defend? Well, not really. So I'm thinking that this is going to be a team that's going to be active around the trade deadline, around the buyout market. But to your question, if Kyrie leaves and if James Harden is not here to re-sign, well, you know, the 4 to 5 year outlook of the Brooklyn Nets doesn't look as bright as it did. But at the end of the day, it's still a big win if you got Kevin Durant here for the next 5 years.
Yeah, that's a foundation most teams would bend over backwards to find a way to make work. But certainly a very different outlook than they had before. Christian, we appreciate the time on this one, man. I'm sorry for letting you down at numerous turns.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Awesome stuff, guys. Christian Winfield, New York Daily News Nets reporter, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up next, though, from trying to make sense of the situation around Kyrie Irving and the Nets to trying to make sense of what's gone out on in Las Vegas, why one coach finally stepped up to the mantle and gave us the blueprint here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
They just left me 37 seconds on the clock. I'm getting ready to ice this thing. I've been in the huddle with people that's like that.
Followed by Greeny.
Not one person on that field looked like they gave a damn. Their plan seems to be, let's just throw away a season and hope that all our young guys get better.
Spend your mornings with us right here on ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We appreciate Christian Winfield stopping by, helping us chop it up and talk about Kyrie Irving and the Nets, which, man, a week for the ages for off the field and off the court headlines here, because we know the other thing we spend a lot of time talking about is the fallout, John Gruden's resignation as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders in the wake of emails leaking, insulting basically everyone of any race, creed, color, or sexual orientation. And now what we do from here, because, Chris, the bar, I feel like, is set very painfully low for how people respond to these situations here. Because we've already seen fail by Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, fail by Derek Carr coming out and speaking and addressing the media. Like, we're looking around here. I'm amazed at the sheer volume of people that are missing a very easy and obvious moment to come out here and say the right thing.
Yeah, it feels like all you have to do is be a decent human being and have a little bit of awareness, essentially not be tone deaf when talking about this particular issue. I mean, John Gruden clearly stepped out of bounds when he made racist remarks, using homophobic slurs, and having a misogynistic attitude. Like, it's clear that he's on the wrong side of all of this in the emails that he sent in 2011. And to try to stand by John Gruden's character or talk about how much respect that he has in the locker room or within the organization, it feels like that's the wrong thing to do. Yet that's what we're seeing from Mike Mayock. That's what we saw from Mark Davis. And that's what we're now seeing from Derek Carr. And when you boil it down to a player's perspective, that's the part that's probably most disappointing, because Derek Carr is in proximity to a lot of black people in that locker room. Like, he's the quarterback. And I talk about this all the time. Quarterback, by nature, is a leadership position. And not to be more sensitive to the feelings of the men that you are charged to lead, That's a miss for me. And so I'm curious to see where this Raiders team goes, because, I mean, after seeing their performance against the Bears this weekend and now all of the fallout in the wake of the John Gruden stuff, I don't see this team going anywhere positive as of right now. Like, they've got to do a lot of spin, and there's got to be some soul searching that happens from the people that are in leadership positions in that organization in order to get this team back on track.
Yeah, you can tell where people's priorities are right now. That's been my issue with a lot of the ways that people have reacted to this. And that was what made Brandon Staley's comments shine through. The Chargers head coach got up at their press conference and addressed everything that had gone on in one of the few and only defensible ways I have heard. Take a listen.
Brandon, what are your thoughts on what happened with John Gruden? Yeah. You know, I think this is what I think about it. You know, I think that respect and trust in this world are really, really difficult to achieve. And I think about all the people that were affected by those emails, whether you're a person of color, whether you're a person, you know, a gender, your sexual orientation, the people that were affected by those emails, that's who I'm thinking about. You know, because it's a sacred mantle for someone to call you coach or someone to call you a leader. And trust is really, really hard to achieve in this world. It's really, really challenging to achieve. And especially with people, with those groups that I just mentioned. All right, and people are really guarded, all right, and they're skeptical of people because of emails like that. And I just think that, you know, kindness and lifting people up and respecting people you don't know, I just think that, you know, that's such a big part of our thing here is listening to people and learning about people, because I think what you'll discover is that we have so much more in common than not. And I think that, you know, for someone like me, you know, it's just incumbent upon you to set the example every single day so that people that were, you know, talked about in those emails, that they don't need to feel that way. They shouldn't feel that way. And it's, you know, hopefully, you know, all of us can learn from this, that it's about bringing people together for me so that people can become, you know, the people that they dream about. And I think that, you know, for me, you know, leading this football team and being someone, hopefully we can, you know, be a light for those people in those emails, that not everybody's like that, that there's far more people that will love you than the opposite. And hopefully this will be a chance for everybody to come together.
Chris, I don't know Brandon Staley. I don't know if the actions match the words, but the words are strong. That sounds like someone who understands and values the opportunity to lead and understands who is really at the center of all this. It's not John Gruden. It's not the Raiders. It's the people who that language targeted and harmed.
Absolutely, and I think he put the focus where it should be. It shouldn't be on John Gruden or trying to defend him or trying to vouch for his character. It should be about, you know, the concern and the welfare and the feelings of the individuals, the communities that would be affected by his commentary. Like, John Gruden is not a victim in this situation. He's not. He got exactly what he deserved. It's those other people that are affected by it. I mean, when you start talking about the comments that Gruden had towards D, those were racist remarks. I don't care that John Gruden said he doesn't have a racist bone in his body. What he said was racist. And then also using homophobic slurs. Like, Carl Nassib is a member of the Las Vegas Raiders, and he is an openly gay player in the NFL. Like, that stuff is harmful. So to sit back, if you're the quarterback or if you're the general manager of the Vegas Raiders, and be preoccupied with trying to, you know, defend John Gruden when his behavior is indefensible, it just makes no sense to me at this point. Like, I don't know that that's the leadership that the organization is looking for in trying to move this thing forward, not only with their football team, but also with their views and what the statement should be and the standards should be about what we're looking for when it comes to this particular issues around the National Football League.
After all of this, we've had Kyrie Irving, we've had this go on. Coming up next, you know what? Let's just round out the triple crown of poor leadership with another organization's failed attempt to try and put deodorant on a situation that has been god-awful. We will get to that after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Football season's here. There's lots of college and pro games to watch. So grab a 5-Hour Energy and stay alert to watch all your favorite games. And try the 5-Hour Energy Extra Strength Cherry Flavor. Tastes unbelievable. Go to 5hourenergy.com. You can find over 15 flavors to choose from. Flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack. But if you're out and about, remember, you can always, always pick up a 5-Hour Energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. How did the Washington football team do it again? Next on ESPN Radio.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max.
They just left me 37 seconds on the clock. I'm getting ready to ice this thing. I've been in the huddle with people that's like that.
Followed by Greeny.
Not one person on that field looked like they gave a damn. Their plan seems to be, let's just throw away a season and hope that all our young guys get better.
Spend your mornings with us right here on ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Kanny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Reminding you guys, the Road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Tune into the NLDS action. Giants hosting the Dodgers. That coverage begins 8:30 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Chris, we spent a ton of time talking about the reaction to John Gruden's resignation, but we've reminded everyone, these emails and their release came from an investigation into the Washington football team. They have been at the center for this for a long time. They're a large part of the reason why the NFLPA and others want to continue to press the league to release these emails, because as we've heard, John Gruden was saying these things to someone. We know Bruce Allen, who used to work for the Washington football team, was one of those people here. So Washington has not had a clean or banner week in all of this. They have apparently, whether through ignorance or actual purpose, decided to try and counter that with this. Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, reported earlier today that the Washington football team announced that it will officially retire the late Sean Taylor's number 21 in a pregame ceremony before Sunday's home game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Chris, when I first saw this, it felt gross. Because I looked at this and said, all right, coming off a week where, again, the Washington football team is implicated in some less than stellar off-the-field things, and woe is that putting it kindly here. Like, we're reminded of just what a toxic workplace this had been for such a long time. Coming off of that, either because they were not aware enough to say, hey, if we had been planning this the way that many are now claiming from inside that organization they had been for months, the wherewithal to say, you know what, we better move this because proximity to this isn't going to do anything for us. Or at worst, this was a very hastily put together attempt to say, we need something better for people to look at. Let's honor a player that has long been deserving of this at a time that feels disgusting.
Yeah, that's the thing. I just feel like this was something that was put together to try to create some positive headlines and get ahead of what the Washington football team knew was coming down the pike, which is fallout from their investigation that would ultimately lead to John Gruden's resignation. Now, I see that our very own Ryan Clark, RC, put something out there on Twitter saying that he and several other players from the Washington football team, alumni, have been reached out to back in September, late September, about trying to put together a ceremony to honor the late, great Sean Taylor and retiring his jersey. But, like when teams organize events like that, that typically happens in the spring, and it coincides with the schedule release and you know, the team offering up ticket sales. So fans that want to be a part of a day like that, that want to be a part of that type of celebration, can get in on it and purchase their tickets and make their travel arrangements. And so for them to put something together like this in, a couple of months' time, it seems like this was an attempt to try to get ahead of the negative publicity, the fallout that would happen from release of some of the material information from the investigation. It just doesn't feel right to honor Sean Taylor under these circumstances, knowing what he meant to that organization and knowing what he meant to the game of football in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the part. Sean 100% deserves this. And RC was one of the first people I thought of because I have heard him and the way that he speaks about Sean Taylor, someone he knew and loved. And it's just that point because I saw Jason Wright, the president of the Washington football team, one of the people who's been tasked with the unenviable job of coming over and trying to right this ship, tweeted out and said, we wanted to do something long overdue by retiring players' numbers. Months ago, we planned for Bobby Mitchell and Sean Taylor to be the first two. Seeing the reaction, I'm very sorry that the short notice does not properly reflect the impact Sean had. President's brief to come. I'm not putting this on Jason Wright, who I think is well-intentioned in coming in this. This is a Dan Snyder issue. Period, point blank, end of sentence, Chris.
Yeah, and Dan Snyder's wife, too, because she's the one that's running the day-to-day operations of the club. So, yeah, you have to put the blame squarely on them, and it feels like a clunky attempt to try to get ahead of the negative publicity. Like, I don't know how this could be anything other than that. Like, if it was about honoring Sean Taylor properly, you would give enough lead time for the members of the fan base that want to be involved, alumni from the Washington football team to be involved. You would give more people a little more of a heads up to make the arrangements so they can take part in it and they can do it properly. But to put something together in a couple of months, it just feels like they knew that this was coming down the pike and they had to have something to try to put a positive face on where the club was currently at. So, yeah, I'm not buying into it. I love the fact that Sean Taylor's being honored, but it just doesn't feel right under the circumstances.
And this is another one, like the Las Vegas Raiders situation. I don't need to hear from Jason Wright. I don't need to hear from Ron Rivera. Let ownership step up and actually show people where the buck stops for once in this situation and be accountable for what's going on in your backyard here. Coming up next, though, we will switch to what's going on the field here. Why one of the members of our show is completely delusional about what's coming up later.